Okay, we're going back on the record at 12:34. So the next one is, which one? The case number, okay, 23-368 at Southbury. Good afternoon. And please state your name, spell your last name, and state what department you're with.
Sergeant Dennis Pichico, P-I-C-H-E-C-O, with the Connecticut State Police, representing the town of Southbury.
Okay. And you are?
Keith Gerner.
No, you don't do that.
You don't have to say your name.
I thought the way you were sitting, I thought you were an attorney. You looked like one.
I am.
You are.
But I'm not representing him as attorney. I'm dad.
That's a more important role anyway.
It is.
This is that kind of day, you know. Okay. All right, you may proceed, sir.
Thank you. As part of my responsibilities as the resident trooper for Southbury, I'm tasked with conducting background investigations for pistol permit applicants. And during the background investigation for the appellant, I found multiple reports that made me question his suitability to be a pistol permit or a gun owner. So it was therefore denied.
Would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yes, I would. The incidents that he's likely going to be speaking in relation to are from my adolescence throughout my time in high school. I believe the dates were pretty much between the time when I was 14 to 17 years of age, where I did struggle with a little bit of mental health at that time and finding the appropriate medication and therapy regimen, which at this point in time has proven me much success, and I'm in a much different place in my life where I've been stable and,
Okay, thank you. You may proceed.
During the background investigation, I found four reportable incidents between the dates of December 11th, 2014 through January 11th, 2016, in which the appellant either made comments or took actions indicating that he had suicidal and or homicidal ideations and actions. I can go into more details each one specifically if you'd like me to begin there. The first one from 2014, while a student at Pomfret High School, he made a statement that he had a plan of taking 40 Benadryl to kill himself. And he further went on to state that if he went home, there would be an 80% chance that he would attempt to harm himself. That investigation concluded with the emergency committal of the appellant. The next incident I located was from February 12th, 2015, while still a student at the high school. He's alleged to have pointed at a student and made a comment that that girl, if I had a knife, I would kill her. The appellant also stated that that girl triggers suicidal thoughts. That same report also states that he said he would never hurt that student. That it also references previous attempts of suicide and plans to harm himself. That investigation was also concluded with an emergency committal. It's worth noting that they attempted to write a juvenile arrest warrant for him, but it was ultimately denied, stating that his actions didn't meet the statute of threatening, which I agree with. The next incident I located was February 24th, 2015 as well. Again, while still a student at the high school, he stated that he was having suicidal thoughts. He had these thoughts in the past and attempted suicide before by overdosing on Tylenol, cutting himself, and drinking large amounts of Listerine. That investigation was also concluded with the emergency committal. And the final reportable incident I located was from January 11, 2016. This one occurring at his residence, where he was threatening to hang himself. Officers arrived on scene and found him standing in a treehouse with a noose wrapped around his neck, threatening to jump. He was ultimately talked down, it came down with his own power. But again, that investigation was concluded with an emergency committal. This incident occurred due to the appellant becoming very depressed the previous night from his ex-girlfriend saying that she wouldn't speak with him for a while. A doctor who was familiar with him had also even requested that he go to the emergency room for treatment. That was the final reportable incident I found, which also ended in an emergency committal. My decision to deny his postponement request was based solely on those reports I just summarized.
Thank you. Do you have any witnesses?
Most of the officers who wrote these reports are no longer employed by the town. One who does was Officer McCurrier, but he cannot remember the incident. The one he wrote was from February 24th of 2015. He had no recollection of the incident other than what was written in the report.
Thank you. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask the sergeant?
No.
Okay. The board have any questions? Well, I guess not. Okay. Well, then you have your chance to tell us what you'd like us to know.
Thank you. Due to the incidents he's referring to, the one that I take the most severity in myself was the threat against another student in the school, which I have long since learned from and understood the severity of my actions in that moment, which was ultimately completely out of emotion at the time. I don't honestly remember my specific frustration with her, given that I was 14 and it's a decade later. Whatever it was, I understand the inappropriateness after all these years that have gone by since. I would never hurt another individual in any means, nor had any plan to genuinely do so, besides the irrational remarks at that time. All the other instances were of suicidal allegation, which there were attempts at the time, and like I said in my opening remarks, was a matter of figuring out the appropriate medication and the therapy regimen to be able to redirect myself into a better direction so that I could further my life, which I've successfully done so. Since 2013, I believe, around that time, late 2013, early 2014, I've been in therapy consistently. At times, it's been on a more frequent basis, perhaps twice a week, and other times, maybe once every 2 weeks, depending on the necessity of where I felt my mental health was at and working with psychiatrists and therapists. At this point in time, I do not see a therapist quite as regularly. Typically, I'll probably reach out to her more so just to have a conversation and touch base and just kind of update her on the events of my life. For example, the last one was simply to talk to her, to tell her I'm engaged and I'm now actively planning a wedding, just to let you know. And she questioned me like she does every time on why are we talking if you don't have any mental health problems right now. But I like to just touch base. I hope the board received it as well. I did ask my therapist to email a letter advocating on my behalf, which should be in supporting documents. Otherwise, I do have a copy as well.
Who is that?
Diane Smith.
Yeah, that.
Okay, thank you. In relation to firearms, I believe since the age of about 10 is when I started learning about safe firearm handling, storage, separation of ammo from the firearm itself. By the age of 12, I got my hunting license as soon as I possibly could, because I was very looking forward to hunting pheasants with my mother, father, and sister at the time when she lived at home. I was stalking birds when I was 6, so it was just a matter of being old enough to start. By the time I was 14, I joined a club along with my father called the Connecticut Travelers Sporting Clays Association, which was kind of a primary fascination of mine, where I got really into sporting clays and competed across the Northeast in different events that they hosted at different clubs, and learned from a close family friend who was the president of the club, who also further instructed me on safe firearm handling, and also how to further my shooting skill. At this point in time, we still actively hunt pheasants. I'm trying to get back into goose hunting, which is also something we did when I was younger and we belonged to a different club. I'm just hoping that you can see the difference in my mentality at this point in time and the regret in my actions when I was younger and also the thanks that I have to the help that I received to be able to put me on a different path to now be a business owner, avid, safe gun lover, gun sport enthusiast, and just in a different direction where I was able to also finish a bachelor's degree in psychology and move on with my life accomplishments to put me in a better place. Thank you.
Thank you. Have any questions?
No, sir. This is my only interaction with the appellant.
Okay. Thank you. You have another witness you'd like to call?
We get to ask this question.
I'm scared of the board. One of these days I'll get this right. Okay. Board?
Are you currently still seeing the psychiatrist who wrote a letter for you?
The letter was from my therapist. She's a licensed marriage and family counselor. My psychiatrist I have not seen in, I believe it was October of 23 was the last time that I spoke with her, at which point I was planning on weaning off of the medication I was on, because I felt like I was in a stable place and she agreed with me. I tried getting an appointment with her to get a letter from her as well, and I was unable to do so because I wasn't an active patient of hers, so I wasn't able to get an appointment prior to this hearing.
I thought there was a letter in the file from a psychiatrist.
That's Dr. Lee?
Oh, she did write a letter. I was unaware of this. Mm-hmm. Oh, on the initial application, yes, sorry. I thought you were referencing now, my apologies.
And if someone has an open file, what was the date of that letter from Dr. Lee then?
December 14th, 2022.
22, okay.
Yes.
If you could just, what was the condition she was treating you for and what did she treat you with?
She was treating me for major depressive disorder. I was on, I think if I thought hard enough, I could go through the different medications I tried to get in the right place throughout the years. But with her, I believe for part of the time I was on Lamictal, which worked well for me as an antidepressant. And in combination with lithium as a mood stabilizer, along with like regular blood tests to monitor the lithium levels in my system.
She feel you had bipolar disorder?
No. I never received any borderline or full bipolar diagnosis from her.
Just major depression?
Major depressive disorder.
How many episodes of major depression do you feel you've had over your life?
Throughout my adolescence, I would say somewhere in the area of 5 throughout the years, the majority of which I think were reportable instances that are on record.
On those occurrences in 2014, the two in 2015, the one in 2016, you were evaluated in the emergency department of community hospitals each time?
Correct.
Did any of those evaluations result in your admission to a psychiatric unit for any treatment stabilization?
Only one of those occurrences was for like a medication adjustment, which resulted in a hospitalization at St. Raphael's, Yale, New Haven. And there were two other shorter term hospitalizations that I don't explicitly remember. I think one involved a new medication and the other one was simply a safe space to be in for the time being, to at Waterbury. But the one at St. Raphael's, which was later in time, I think that's the 2016 one, and they told me this at the time, that they kept me there for such a long period of time because they were regularly checking my blood levels for the lithium to make sure that they had the right dosage.
The reason I was asking about bipolar disorder is that both Lamictal and lithium are primarily used to treat bipolar disorder, and then Lamictal in particular, to treat the depressive phase of bipolar disorder. So I was curious as to why the diagnosis was major depression recurrent. At any of the inpatient facilities, were different diagnoses considered to your understanding?
I do not believe on any of the inpatient facilities or any of the IOP programs working with psychiatrists there as well resulted in any sort of bipolar diagnosis.
Did either your therapist or the psychiatrist, when you were seeing her, educate you on the risk of recurrence after having three or more depressive episodes and the value of long-term preventative pharmacotherapy?
I don't explicitly recall.
That mom back there?
But she's almost deaf.
I was going to say, she
but she would know
table.
The answers to all of this, but I was there as well. I'm sorry.
No, I'm trying to remember a decade ago.
If you'd like to have your mom join us, and if either of you sign and can...
I do know that it was Yale, New Haven, that was...
That was a turning point.
That was everything.
So. Yeah.
They had literally took him off all of his meds because he said they were all wrong. And it was the...
I just can't hear back.
I know.
We can't hear up here either. So.
She's hard of hearing, so please speak loud.
I have two hearing aids, but
they don't work.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that took him off all of his meds. So it takes time to get that out of his system.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Yale, New Haven, what they did for Keith. And then they put him on the lithium, but that takes time to get into your system, which you well know, Doctor. That was when the clouds parted and the sun shone.
That makes me wonder whether, and I don't know if you ever thought to do this, but to ask for the admission and discharge summary from that Yale admission to see if they maybe changed the treating diagnosis to bipolar disorder depressed.
Yeah, I don't think there's been anything that's suggested bipolar for
because that's
years.
Typically
yeah.
What lithium would be used for.
Yeah.
And if lithium made a dramatic difference.
Yeah.
But he was evaluated by, it was a lot of doctors we saw, and they all ruled it out. They said it's definitely not bipolar. I'm not saying one doctor, I'm saying more than a handful.
It's just interesting.
And they all said no.
Were you ever on an antidepressant?
I was on Abilify for a little while.
Yeah, that's an antipsychotic. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very short-lived time. Mm-hmm. Was on Lamictal. Levothyroxine. That was for my thyroid, though. Nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Lexapro, Celexa,
no.
Wellbutrin.
Wellbutrin.
That didn't work.
It did work for a short period of time, but then it ended up not helping me.
Yeah.
After some prolonged months, ended up weaning off that medication.
As an aside to anything that we're dealing with here, you might want to obtain actual discharge records from your hospitalizations just to have on your personal file. Typically, when someone has had more than three episodes of major depression, the practice guidelines recommend long-term preventative therapy. That is staying on a medication regimen to prophylax against recurrent episodes because the risk goes up to 70% after three or more recurrent episodes of major depression.
I don't remember anybody you were telling us. I'm sorry.
Can I ask a question? What is defined as a major depressive episode, because when I answered your question initially, mm-hmm. I took it as my own personal interpretation in times that I felt depressed mm-hmm. for potentially even a couple weeks at a time before starting to feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
If it's defined as times that require medical intervention, then ultimately it would be three.
Well, no, it's not. The diagnosis doesn't require medical intervention, but to have a persistent depressed mood,
mm-hmm.
Often associated with changes in sleep pattern, appetite pattern, level of energy, level of interest, level of anxiety, irritability, lasting for a minimum of 2 weeks would be the definition of a depressive episode. And depending on the severity of the symptoms, response could either be from psychotherapy alone, pharmacotherapy alone, or a combination, the most effective, a combination of pharmacotherapy and psychotherapy.
Okay.
Could I add, all of this that we're talking about, I will tell you from personal experience, was very bad for mom and dad, for the whole family during those times, which I understand your role on the board here, doctor, which you can imagine, it was hell. But he was a teenager, and now we're going back at a minimum 8 years, closer to 10 years.
He's not the same person.
He's not.
Ever. I mean, he's an
and
adult
we haven't
now.
Seen
he's...
any of this, yeah. And I can tell you that he worked and, well, first off, I don't know any kids or people that can work full-time and go to college full-time and paid for his college, and he made six figures a year doing it. So he's not lazy. He works from sun up to sundown every night. He started his own business, which is doing very well. And since the purpose of this is firearms, I grew up with firearms. I mean, the earliest memories of my father was sitting in a goose pit in Maryland, freezing my butt off at 6 years of age, I will admit. Happy memories, but cold ones. So I taught him with that, but that's really unrelated to
you're,
that.
You're sort of going out of order here, too.
Oh, I apologize. I'll stop.
We're technically still on the appellate here.
I apologize.
Yeah, but we'll get to you shortly.
Just to follow up with you, when was it that you last took the lithium and the Lamictal, and did your psychiatrist give you a tapering regimen to come off of those?
I was lessening my dosage at the time. And then due to my own fault, I was taking a little bit inconsistently. I told you that I still felt the same as when I was taking it regularly. Mm-hmm. This is over the course of approximately maybe 2 months where I was taking it inconsistently. And she gave me the okay that if I felt fine to wean off of it, then I was tapering off of it and eventually stopped, which at this point in time was probably in the vicinity of 15 months ago now.
Sometime in
2023? Yes. When I fully stopped taking medication and ultimately have felt exactly the same since.
Okay. I would just urge you to be aware if you start to notice any changes just because of that concern. Excuse me, concern about the likelihood of a future recurrence. And we can't predict when that might be, mm-hmm. but we know historically that if a person has had multiple episodes, there is a higher risk for recurrence. So I'm just throwing that out as an aside, particularly because you've been doing so well by your self-report and your report from your mom and your dad.
Thank you. Any other questions by the board?
Sure. So what are you doing now? I think I missed that or didn't hear you articulate. What job do you have?
Yeah, so right now I run a landscaping operation, property management by the name, largely lawn mowing, property cleanups, the basic maintenance, pruning type stuff. I've had employees in the past on payroll systems and whatnot. Right now I have one, but hoping next year to build it up. Like my father said, I did that all through college as well, which originally my plan and why I have the bachelor's in psychology is because I actually wanted to be a therapist. And then kind of changed my mind because I was doing it all throughout college and found passion in this. So continuing to pursue this and also actively pursuing another certification in relation. Maybe I'll come back to therapy at some point in time, but right now the fascination is with landscaping and property management. So.
Ian, you're engaged.
Yes.
Congratulations. They're very happy. I'm still living. Do you have your own residence or...
I still live with my parents. Many nights I'll sleep at my girlfriend's house, which is a 3-minute drive up the hill. So actually, very close in relation.
That's all I have, sir.
I am in no way a mental health professional, but and a little learning is a dangerous thing. But I'm looking at the 2016 incident when you were up in a tree with a noose around your neck. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of that you remember, but seems to me that's almost a cry for help kind of thing rather than an actual suicide attempt. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Oddly enough, I do actually remember the emotions at that time. Mm-hmm. That was a day where I was working in, we have a woodworking shop in the garage. Mm-hmm. So my father taught me woodworking as well. I was making a bowl on the lathe and my mother and sister came out into the garage to tell me that they spoke to my psychiatrist. They thought that I was acting weird. And I needed to either see my psychiatrist or be brought to the emergency room. I said, no, I'm good, I'm fine. and just kind of refused because I was happy working in the garage. They said, well, you're going one way or the other. I didn't accept that at the time, so I was trying to just get away from them, and then I went up in the little tree platform that we had. I know I was just kind of upset that they didn't talk to me about it and ask me how I was doing instead of making assumptions beforehand and jumping to the most extreme, because that way I probably would have gone more willingly than having stuff thrown on me. The putting the rope around my neck was also another regrettable decision at this point in time, because it could have been de-escalated very quickly otherwise, but was also a result to the frustration, upset in general with my mother and sister for contacting my psychiatrist, thinking.
Again, I know this is difficult to say, were you intending to harm yourself?
Not by any means, no. Okay.
All right, thank you. Any other questions from the board?
Just a follow-up on that. How about, were you 14, 15 when that occurred, that incident?
I believe 15.
It's born in 2000,
right.
So
my
he's
math
16.
Is about right, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mid-15 or something, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And is that the hospitalization, is that the incident that resulted in the hospitalization?
That was, yes. It originated at Waterbury, and then I was transferred to Yale.
So you were at the Yale Psychiatric Institute?
Yes, St. Raphael's, I believe.
Oh, you were on the St. Raphael's campus?
Yeah.
It was an outpatient, like you'd go during the day. And you were there you were there for inpatient first,
and then
transferred to outpatient.
Yeah.
Also at the St. Raphael's campus?
Yes,
yeah.
As a discharge plan,
okay.
Yeah. Which went on for somewhere in the vicinity of 6 weeks, 6 weeks to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So you were inpatient for a period of time, new medication, adjusted, recommended that you go into their day program for a period of time, and then from day program into therapy with your therapist and the psychiatrist, Dr. Lee, after that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And he finished high school, and you know he had tutoring during the time he did his schoolwork while he was doing the inpatient, and
mm-hmm.
made sure that all of his work was complete.
You have any other witnesses you'd like to testify on your behalf? I think I know one.
You probably want to formally ask your mom and your dad to say something. We jumped around a little bit.
Yeah.
Dad interjected
yeah.
some stuff.
Yeah, you started saying a number of different things. Is there anything that you left out that you want us to know?
Listen, I'm used to 30 years of judges telling me, hold on, attorney. I can't see my last name. Hold on.
Right.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Yes, I'm used to getting yelled at. He's not the same kid that he was. He's not a kid anymore. He's old enough, he's successful. A lot of these incidents, honestly, it's just been too long, me because I'm too old and I don't remember. But like I said, we go hunting every weekend together, and did I mention he's a class A? And now he's moving to a double A shooter.
Wow.
No, we have 120 shooters in our sporting play class, our league right now. I know, I'm bragging, but I'm a dad. And I know he's going to win A, and it looks like he's going to be second above the guy who's going to win it for double A. And they already told him they're not going to let him stay in A next year because the people in A are upset.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good he is.
Okay.
And we shoot a lot. Yeah, we really do.
I don't like to boast he takes care of me.
I'm a dad. I'm allowed to, I think.
I try to be humble.
Well, yeah, I know you're a dad, but do you have any reservations whatsoever about him getting a pistol permit?
If he can buy me ammo with it, that would be nice. No, none whatsoever.
Okay.
No.
He's a very responsible young man right now.
Okay.
He was a kid. He had, you know, it was boy and girl problems,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, feeling insecure, and, you know, when a girl tells you that they don't like you, and then you get upset, and it was teenage, early teenage, adolescent stuff, and he's certainly outgrown that. I'm very proud of him, of the man he's become. So,
you have any questions for his mother or his father?
No questions.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. You can make a brief closing statement. I mean, you've been pretty thorough so far. But if there's anything else you'd like to add, now is the time.
I guess I'll just say that I hope everyone can take into consideration the development that I hope I've been able to portray throughout my life from where I was to where I am now. and really my interest in firearms as a sport, and knowing that I feel and my family feels that I will be safe and responsible in handling them. And I'm just, like they said many times, just not the same person that I was. And I know they definitely are, but I am as well very grateful that I was able to overcome the struggles that I went through at that point in time earlier in my life and turn my life around to be able to achieve the goals that I had. Thank you.
Closing statement?
No, sir. I think everything I said was summed up in my initial.
Okay. Any comments by the board? I guess we'll proceed to a vote, and this time we're starting with Dr. Conrad.
I will support the appellant's appeal. I do want to reiterate, be mindful and watchful for any early signs of recurrence. And if you've had a good experience with mental health professionals, please don't be reluctant to seek their counsel and assistance if needed in the future.
I'm a big advocate for mental health, so thank you.
Mr. Green.
Appellant.
Colonel Overturn.
Appellant, sir.
Okay. Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Ms. Johnson.
Appellant.
Chair votes appellant unanimously. Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you. And Mary